San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, March 27th. Today's lesson is So Happy Together with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's beautiful here. So absolutely welcome right here to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. I'm excited to be here, to have us here together. And welcome to our new guest. But today is the San Diego Half Marathon. So we are here together, and so were a whole lot of other people. The length of the half marathon actually went through Liberty Station here. So the good news is they started very early and the roads are clear now and people can get here. So we are very grateful for that. Now today's lesson is So Happy Together. And of course that includes our March theme of play. And I want to remind you that Martin Buber told us play is the exaltation of the possible. The exaltation of the possible. All things are possible. And so we should celebrate that. We should be happy about that because that means whatever we want to do, whatever we want to be, is possible. And all we need to do is recognize that it's already ours. Every idea we have in our head is an idea of God because we all think into the one mind. And in that one mind is everything that ever was, that is now, and that ever shall be. So we know that when we get these great inspirations, they are a gift. They are a gift. We've been playing around all month, and it's been great fun. And I thought I'd do a little bit of a recap, because this is the last Sunday of the month. So the first Sunday, March 6th, our talk was Playing with Spirit. And we looked at the spiritual roots of New Thought because it was also New Thought Day, the first Sunday in March. We learned that the world is our playground, that law and spirit are our friends, and that we can always have fun with the divine. Yes, we can. Because we are always in a state of play. Even if it looks like work, our attitude can make it fun, can make it play. The next Sunday, March 13th, we had a spoonful of humor. A spoonful of humor. And so what we learned there was that God has a sense of humor. Absolutely, God has a sense of humor. If God didn't have a sense of humor, we wouldn't have a sense of humor because everything that is one of the qualities of God is inherent within us. And some things are just darn funny. We learned that laughter is a powerful tool for healing and for bringing people together, and that laughter reveals our wholeness. That talk that Sunday was scattered with jokes and puns and a little bit of silliness. So let me reprise one of those. What do sea monsters eat? Fish and chips. Knock, knock.
Who's
there? Tank.
Tank who?
You're welcome. Then we moved on to last week, the 20th, where our topic was work, play, rest. We celebrated the vernal equinox, which is one of only 2 days per year where day and night are evenly split into 12 hours each. We also learned that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, and the importance of balance in our lives. I handed out a worksheet for finding balance. And we still have a few left if you want them today. But most importantly, we affirmed we can work, play, rest, and pray each day. And we did all of these playful things together, as a spiritual community, as a family. So today, we have a very special affirmation. Please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I am joyful in my community. We are so happy together. And so it is. So just breathe. Breathe in that absolutely powerful, joyful, wonderful affirmation. We're playing around this month. We're playing with spirit. We're joyfully having fun with the truth of who we are. So, when we think about so happy together, we probably ought to have a couple of definitions. You know, I love the dictionary. So, the definition of together, it's an adverb, by the way. It has two of them. The first one is with or in proximity to a person or people. Okay, yeah, to gather together. But the second one is into companionship or close association. That's the kind of together that I'm talking about, where we are here, but we are joined in a relationship. We have companionship. We have a close association. We are religious scientists. We believe in and teach and live the science of mind. It's a faith, it's a philosophy, and it's a way of life. And it's our life. Then we come to community, which is a noun. Again, the first definition is like, okay, I'll take it because some people use it that way. A group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common, like a scientific community. Absolutely true. Good to use those kinds of definitions. They help to organize our thoughts. It's like, what makes all those people in that big business building, what makes them gather there? Well, they're the scientific community. That's where they do their work. Cool. Makes it easy than sitting across the street on a park bench wondering, who are those people? Why do they go there? Why do they come and go at night? As if we had nothing better to do. But the second definition is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attributes, interests, and goals. And that's what we are. We are that kind of community. The dictionary also even gives as an example the sense of community that organized religion can provide. And that's a true statement. I like to think we're a little bit different than organized religions because we don't have a lot of rules. What we all depend on is the one law and the divine creative process. We understand that each of us are one with God. And there is not a set of rules that says you must do this, you must do that, you can't do that, you must dress this way. Cover your head, don't cover your head. These things are human. They are not the divine. They are not responsive to what we feel inside, what we know as we learn these teachings. So what does Ernest Holmes have to say about that? Reverend Mark, can you open up the Science of Mind textbook? What does he say about togetherness? There's, yes, and I will read that. He says, on page 332, paragraphs 2 and 3, Jesus prayed that all might come to see the unity of life, that they may be one even as we are one, was his prayer as he neared the completion of his great work. The prayer that enabled those closest to him to understand the unity of spirit, in which man clearly recognizes his oneness with his Creator and with all creation. All mystics have sensed that we live in one life, quote, in him we live and move and have our being, end quote. The unity of good is a revelation of the greatest importance, for it teaches us that we are one with the whole and one with each other. The fatherhood of God and the actual brotherhood of man will be made apparent on earth to the degree that man realizes his true unity. The fatherhood, the brotherhood of man, mankind. The book was written back when man represented mankind. That doesn't mean women are excluded. It means everybody was included. So he talks about unity and community. And we can be very happy in this knowledge that we are a part of something greater than ourselves, and we always have been. We are here as human beings in our little earth suits. We are the embodiment of the divine. It is that divine spark that is within each and every one of us. And yet, this same spark makes us one with everyone else. That's unity. That's how we can express our community, being together with each other based on our choices. We could be right here with each other. We could be over there with that group. We could be in a different town. But right here, right now, this is who we are and where we are. We can say, I am joyful in my community. We're so happy together. But why can we say that? What makes that true? Well, we know it's true. From the one mind, we know it's true. But don't believe me. You know, prove it yourself. Or you can hear what Reverend Nina Russell said when she wrote about the law of love. Now, she's a divine science minister from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She wrote, it is our duty to ourselves and humankind to bring our thoughts, spoken and unspoken, into the one great universal law of love, so we can have more love and peace in our lives. Quote, be the change you want to see in the world, end quote. Let the unselfish law of love guide your every thought and therefore your actions. Quote, let the mind which is in Christ Jesus also be in you, end quote. So Reverend Nina was talking about community. She was talking about togetherness, being a part of world community. And that as a part of the world community, as a part of each other, we owe it to ourselves and to the planet Earth, to all humankind, to keep our thoughts, keep thinking about what we're thinking about. As the Four Agreements, first agreement is, be impeccable with your word. Well, that word is not just what comes out of your mouth. It's what goes on in your head. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about love? Are you thinking about joy? Are you thinking that this is my life here on earth as God expressing. Everything I am, everything I am doing, I am being, is an expression of the divine. And be so happy about that. My goodness, the infinite creator created this playground for us, created this park, created our homes, created all of the natural resources on this planet, created the universe so at night we can look up at the stars and go, wow, I wonder if they have a planet like ours, with people on it like us, who are so grateful to the infinite creator for their lives, for whatever their planet suits are, like we have Earth suits. We can be grateful for all of that, and grateful for knowing that when the divine created absolutely everything, it is in everything. It is in you. Every thought, every movement, every thrill, every stub toe, every concern is the divine in, through, and as you. And it can't change. You can't say, okay, God, would you get out of the way? You know, I think I'm going to do something you might not like today. No. The divine is always, always there, never leaving us. For those people who say, God abandoned me. No. The divine cannot abandon itself. That is a human perception. There is always the union between the human and the divine, because the human is made up of divine stuff. All God had was itself. So everything has to be made up of divine stuff. Cool, huh? We are in the midst of the season for nonviolence. And that is the 64-day season from January 30th to April 4th. And it is bookended by the assassination date of Mahatma Gandhi and the assassination date of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Both of them were peacemakers. Both of their messages were given at a time when the world did not want to hear it. Mahatma Gandhi was protesting for home rule in India. Martin Luther King studied Mahatma Gandhi and was so enamored of the nonviolent civil disobedience that is what he employed in his civil rights movement. What happened to both of them was very powerful, very tragic, and very, very effective. When each group stood up nonviolently in civil disobedience, the world saw how unfair the laws were. They saw that. With Mahatma Gandhi, it took many, many, many years for the world to become aware of what was going on. We didn't have the internet then. With Martin Luther King, it took many years as well, but not as many as it took Gandhi. And we had our civil rights, where we stopped treating some of our people like they weren't really people. Where we said, hey, you know what? Our Constitution applies to everybody, everybody, absolutely everybody. When you're a citizen, that's your Bible as far as what you can and cannot do in our nation. And nobody can tell you otherwise. They can try, but we'll sue them. The most recent example of nonviolent civil disobedience was up in Canada. Just, what, a month ago? Or has it even been a month? When the truckers were up there and they were protesting against a law, a rule, something that they felt was unfair. And while they were there, they were not rioting or looting. They were playing hockey. They were having bands come in. They were helping clean up the neighborhood. They were doing all kinds of good things. And the world watched. There are still some things that are yet to come out of that. But basically, a lot of what they wanted is now happening. And it was uncomfortable. Some of them went to jail. Some of them had different issues. But their voice was heard. And when their voice was heard, the world saw what was really going on and that it was not right. So we can say, look at how different, how much more quickly nonviolence works in the span of 120 years. It's pretty darn impressive. So this is day 57 of the season for nonviolence. At the beginning of this, we had our congregational pledge to participate in the movement. This is the 25th annual season for nonviolence, which is a big deal. So today, on day 57, we have our daily commitment, and I will read it, and then we can all read it together, okay? It's on your program insert. Today, I will forgive myself. Today, I will forgive myself. Well, what do we need to forgive ourselves for? Think about what Reverend Nina wrote in her Law of Love. Negative stuff and negative thoughts rob us of our happiness. Forgive yourself that during those times you forgot who you are. Remember who you are. Let that remembrance that you are the divine, spiritual, immortal being that you are, let that fill you with love and with joy and with happiness. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.